Right, welcome back. Happy New Year. First podcast of 2020. We've got an awful lot to catch up on, so we're going to start, as always, with the fixtures from the weekend. We will start with the lunchtime game on Saturday, which concerned your team, Dan. Arsenal, talk us through that one.
I thought there was certain parts of the game which we did dominate. It was like a good goal by Aubameyang in like the 12th minute or so, and I thought we were going to do the same as we did to Man United, keep that pressure up. But then the red card affected things, and there's no doubt in my mind that it wasn't a red card. It was definitely a red card that from Aubameyang.
Right, let's have some discussion on that, because I think it was a red card. You do think it was a red card. You?
I think it's a red card. You can tell his ankle bent.
Happy that, because the ref gave a yellow at first,
and
then VAR changed it, so we're all happy red.
But there was Jordan Ayew had 7 fouls and didn't get a single card, which is a bit, it just keeps it inconsistent.
It's the calibre of the fouls, though. Like, pulling a shirt isn't as bad as almost snapping someone's ankle in half.
You'd agree if you'd been on the receiving end of either of those, I think. But it was 1-1, wasn't it, before it was sent off? Or was it not? But Arsenal lost the firepower, you would say,
definitely
to kick on
front
and go for the victory. What did you think to Crystal Palace's performance?
I think they're a solid side. I think they're a pretty, not to be mean, but they're a pretty boring side, the way that they're just,
Well, does that come from their manager,
really?
Yeah.
Because he's been in the game a long time. He knows how to get the things, but they're not an exciting team who like plays around people like a Liverpool or Man City.
Yeah, they just do what they're there to do. They do a job, really, for Hudson. So then we moved on to the 3 o'clockers. So, Zandy, you mentioned that you were at Old Trafford for Man U Norwich. Talk us through.
I think it was a good performance. Not the best performance I've ever seen, but definitely better than that 2-0 loss. First half, quite stale. We did get the goal, but Norwich was sat so far back that it was quite hard to break them down. But in that second half, it all changed and we got the 3 goals. So
Was it 3 in the second half, was it?
Yeah.
Right, I see. Other than that, Norwich were putting up quite a strong defensive performance. Was that what they set out to do, do you think?
I'm pretty sure. I think they wanted to maybe try hit us on the counter. But I was really surprised how De Gea commanded his centre-backs in front of him to stay. That's something I've not really seen De Gea do recently, is command, which is being quite good, and it helps that we're at home with a home crowd.
Yeah, does that make a difference, do you think?
Yeah, although half the time we weren't actually supporting the team, it was more protesting against the owners, but I think it helps spur the team on.
That was the vibe, was it, the protest on Saturday?
Yeah, the fans set out a point, and I think it's been made aware that they're not happy with how the club's being run at the moment. About all the debt the club's in, so
more to it than what you're seeing on the pitch currently. I see. And then another 3 o'clock at Chelsea then, so they're up and down at the moment. They'd not won at home, I think, in 2 prior to this, but comfortable win in the end.
Yeah, a lot of teams around the top 4 are being inconsistent right now, and Chelsea are another one. They win one, lose one, they're always going up and down. But a 3-0 win, Callum Hudson-Odoi got his first goal in the Prem, so it's looking good for them.
I think I've noticed that if you take Liverpool away from it and you look at the other teams, they are all beating each other. So, you know, you've mentioned it between you a couple of times, Arsenal beat Man United, Man United beat Man City beat Leicester. We're kind of going round and round at the moment, and it seems that it's quite interchangeable. You then moved on to the late kickoff on Saturday, which saw Liverpool away at White Hart Lane. Mourinho obviously in the job, and his history against Liverpool is known as parking the bus, is known as making it difficult for teams. I think Liverpool were deserving of the win. Would you say that was the case?
I think in the last 10 minutes, Tottenham had a very good chances to get a leveler. But
I did think they'd scored, I must admit. I can't remember the player's name.
It was Lo Celso when the ball was in and he just tapped it wide. It was easier to miss.
It was. I looked at the screen and when I saw the replay, I'd seen that Alisson had fallen into his net and that made the net bulge. But I saw the net bulge and looked away, grabbing my head, thinking, oh, this is it, this is the one. And then my mate who I was with said, oh, that was close. I'm like, close? Is it not 1-1? And then I looked up and realised. But I do think of those chances, that was the only real one. Son missed a couple.
I think Son, you could tell he was frustrated with himself. He had, I won't say a sitter because it wasn't that close to a goal, but
none of them were that close apart from that one.
It was quite open, like his angle to the goal, and he skied it.
Skied two,
and he was quite frustrated. But I thought the players were quite frustrated because the ball went out for a Tottenham throw, which Liverpool scored off.
Yeah, but so. I think the replays I've seen of that, it's inconclusive whether Mane was already over the line anyway when it hit him. And then additionally, I think the biggest argument I saw last night on Twitter was from, I think it was from the guy who presents Match of the Day when Gary Lineker doesn't do it. I can't remember his name right now. But he said, so you didn't get a throw in. That does not mean that they score a goal. Stop crying. So I'm on board with that one. They need to get over that. What you did see there then was a clinical finish from Firmino. Fantastic touch on the turn, back of the net. And Liverpool now, the statistic is, out of the top five leagues in Europe, they have made the best start ever. 20 wins from a possible 21. They are currently the world champions. It looks, for all intents, that they are going to go on and win this Premier League. Yeah. What can you say about Liverpool at the moment?
I feel like the club itself needs credit. I feel like not all the players get credit. You think of Liverpool and quite a lot of people give Mane and Salah the credit, but you need to give Firmino credit. Yeah. I know he does get a bit, but not as much as the other two, and I feel, yeah, it's not just two players. I think Klopp needs credit as well.
Absolutely. I would give him 90% of it. I think everything that kind of comes through Liverpool at the moment is going through him. And when you talk about the protests at Old Trafford, is that perhaps the kind of thing that they're looking at that they had 20 years ago and they haven't got that now?
I feel as if it's always been a problem with the Man United owners, but because we were winning trophies, it was put to one side. The fans were still angry because there were protests, but like they were focusing on all the glory, and now that's all gone. There's not much to focus on apart from the club's in debt and it Absolutely. Needs sorting out.
Can you see anyone catching Liverpool, Dan?
No, I think they've gone now. I think they were gone about 2-3 games ago.
Yeah.
But you can't take the foot off the pedal. No, it's been shown before.
Yeah, I'm grinning from ear to ear, but I will not believe it until it is mathematically certain.
I do feel like you'll lose next week, though. So.
Well, we'll see. We can talk about that this time next week. We're going to have a conversation now about the impact of new managers, and then we'll be back towards the end of the show with the Sunday games from the Premier League. Right then, so since our last lot of recording, some of the managers have had time to settle in and we're going to discuss the impact of them now. So the four that we're going to focus on, we've got Arteta at Arsenal, Mourinho obviously at Tottenham, Ancelotti at Everton and Nigel Pearson at Watford. So Arteta's your man. You were unsure about him, but what would you say his impact has been so far?
I like his intensity and the work rate that he's shown in the couple games that he's had so far. Especially in the United game, he showed that what his tactics that he's trying to implement to the players. And I think if he just keeps his run up, I reckon he'll be all right.
Yeah, there's an element of freshness, I think. Obviously, the problem with the captain when he went off and chucked his armband, it looked at that point like he was not going to be at the club anymore. He's been a little bit kind of rejuvenated, I guess, under Arteta.
There's all smiles at the training ground now. Everyone's enjoying, even Ozil, he's enjoying playing, which is...
Big talk about Ozil as well, and thinking, is he going to be the centre of the plans moving forward? Would you like to keep him there?
I don't know. There's been talks of us getting Ziyech and Hakan Çalhanoğlu, which I think would be all right, but Ozil's been there and he's been proven there, so I reckon maybe give him like a year or so, just because he's 30 now, and he'll start to deteriorate.
So under the new regime, maybe what Arteta's bringing in. Yeah. We've touched a little bit upon the game on New Year's Day against Manchester United. Were you surprised that you won that going into it? Did you think you would pick up the 3 points?
I don't know. I wasn't. It was very surprising when we got the first goal.
Yeah, it was early, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And then the second goal was all right. It was a 2-0 lead in the first half. We thought, all right. But then in the second half, we got absolutely peppered. And I was surprised to not concede. Yeah, not to concede.
I noticed a change in tactic in that. I've been long critical of the playing out from the back when teams can't do it.
Yeah.
And I saw it at Anfield in August when they came to Anfield and they tried to play it out from the back and they just got absolutely annihilated. And I remember saying then, they're not good enough to do this. And it seemed that under Emery, there was no lesson learned. They continued to do that. I've noticed a switch with Arteta. I'm not saying you're hoofing it long ball now, yeah. but you're not faffing around with defenders who haven't got the quality yeah. on the ball yet to be able to play like that.
I think the thing is that Emery didn't have that Arteta's got is Emery didn't have the tactics that Arteta had now.
Mm.
He didn't like, he put it on his players, but he didn't have the style. He didn't change anything really. And I think Arteta's come in and he's worked the players harder than they've ever worked before. They're all tired and everything. And I think the press works in this modern football.
Yeah.
And he's been with Pep, where he's won the Premier League a lot of times. So I think in a couple of years' time, if he does do well, we could win the Premier League.
Oh, we heard it here first then, the first podcast of 2020, you're making the claim. Let's talk about Mourinho then, Xander, at Tottenham. Obviously, you've got experience of his management at your club previously. Is he the same as he was at United at Tottenham, or is he different?
I can see both, but I feel like he said that he wants to rejuvenate his tactics when he wasn't managing, but I don't really think I've seen that.
You can't see that.
He's a bit outdated. He's not really
catching up. It's the Mourinho way, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it's hard for us to expect anything different from him.
I mean, that's his legacy, though, isn't
yeah.
it? And I feel like Mourinho will always be that manager that will either get a one or two lead and then that's it, put
yeah.
the game to bed. He's not one of those
shot.
That goes for more
mm-hmm.
All out to make it look nice victory, but it's a bit inconsistent from Mourinho
yeah.
right now. So
I feel like the setup is inherited at Tottenham. They are an attacking team and they have got goals in them and they're not known for being a kind of stable defensive unit. We know that from the amount they were conceding and they've kind of continued to do that really under Mourinho. I thought it was interesting the Harry Kane injury and Mourinho saying he's irreplaceable, whereas in the past Tottenham have done all right when Harry Kane's been out injured.
I feel that they don't really have a replacement for Harry Kane at the moment. You can play Son down the centre, but if I was Tottenham, I'd rather have him out wide.
Yeah, well, Harry Kane wouldn't have missed the chances that Son missed yesterday.
Yeah.
But I reckon that now Harry Kane's gone, they'll start to play more football now, Tottenham, because they were just hitting Kane and
yeah,
he was. It was basically like a one man up front, wasn't he? He was holding the ball up. Now they're going to have to think of different ways to.
Yeah.
To breach the opposition.
Yeah. Do you think long term it's going to be a successful appointment at Tottenham?
No.
No.
I feel that Mourinho likes spending his money, and
yeah.
you've seen with Tottenham that they're not a team to spend millions of pounds on players.
Not
so.
Historically. I've noticed a change in him. Did you see him taking the selfie with the supporter and having a laugh on the sidelines? And I think we've got used to sort of moody Mourinho of recent times. And that I noticed that was a change. He was a little bit different. He was very complimentary-ish about Liverpool after the game yesterday, Saturday. And that's not something that historically is done. So I guess we'll watch this space on that one. We've got Carlo Ancelotti at Everton. An odd choice, a kind of surprise choice. You're pulling a face because you're thinking not the right fit?
I don't know. He's a world-class manager. Mm. But
yeah, no doubt about that.
I don't know if he suits him with Everton. I don't know if the first couple of games that he's been in, there's not really been a change in. I thought Duncan Ferguson was doing better than he is at
yeah.
this stage. And I also feel like he's not. He hasn't got the players around him like he had in the other big clubs, that
yeah.
the big morale players that boost up the team.
For a relegation dogfight, he seemed a surprise appointment for me. I think he's been known for working at the top clubs in the top leagues in Europe, winning, and I don't know he's got the experience for what he's about to undertake at Everton.
I think that I was expecting Everton just to get one of those managers that are known for keeping teams up, like the Sam Allardyce. They used to have Sam Allardyce, but that's what I was expecting to be appointed. But, you know, it came out Ancelotti's been appointed, and I feel like they'll stay up, and next season, in summer, he'll want to have his say.
Yeah, be his true test, won't
yeah.
it? I mean, obviously, they lost the derby in the FA Cup. They lost to... You can't even call them Liverpool reserves. It was like Liverpool kids came out and did a job on them, and I think that won't have gone down well on Merseyside with the fans, and I think he's almost got less time to prove himself than someone like the next manager we can go on and discuss, Nigel Pearson, who has got that pedigree for, you know, the dogfight, the lower end, the top end of the Championship. He does seem to have had an immediate impact at Watford.
Yeah, he's been well good for them. I think he started out the tactics there. He knows how he wants it to line up the players, and he's drilled into them that what they're going to do, and they've been unbeaten in 4 of the 5 games they had. Mm. I think they only lost when they played Liverpool at the start.
Yeah, I think they're on telly a lot at the minute, and obviously I saw them when they were at Anfield, and they seem a bit rejuvenated. There's life about them again. It's not a bit of a nothingy game when they're on, and it was all right to watch them yesterday. You know, they're putting a good performance. He's kind of got things working as well.
Yeah, I feel like he's gone back to the basics, and I think that when they were in that losing streak, the manager was trying to sort out little things where Nigel Pearson is come back and he's gone back to the basics, and I think it's a 4-4-2 right now. Gone back to basics and just changed the face of the club, which has spurred on the players to get the performances.
Yeah. And then we'll move to yesterday's games then, because it did. So they won yesterday, they beat Bournemouth. It seemed fairly attacking in what they were doing, but they just showed up the defence, which is what was missing.
They put Doucouré in a more advanced role than the previous manager had, but I don't know if he suits the role, because he presses, he can defend as well, but he's pressing, which allows the more creative players to come in and whip the balls into Deeney, who's up front.
Yeah, and I think he seemed a bit rejuvenated as well, Troy Deeney.
The whole team's got a new face on it now. It looks totally different from how it was a month ago.
And are they out of the relegation zone?
I think they're just out.
I remember they got out of it. And then the final game yesterday, Manchester City away at Villa. I saw that coming. I watched Soccer Saturday, and I heard Charlie Nicholas saying he thought they'd win 5 or 6-0, and the other panellists were like, you know, what are you saying? They almost slaughtered him for it. But he said they were due to give someone a spanking, and they did. They let Villa know he was boss yesterday.
I feel like that's probably what City needed. I feel like that's what Pep needed as well. He needed to see that his club can still beat teams.
Yeah.
Not that they couldn't, but I feel like, I don't feel like they can catch up with Liverpool this season, and that next season Pep will want to, you know, have his say back on the league.
I think that goes without saying that he's going to be furious with what's happened this year. Talk to us about Sergio Aguero then.
He's the highest scoring overseas player now in the Premier League, overtaking Thierry Henry.
And he's overtaken Alan Shearer for hat-tricks, I think. I saw that on Match.
Yeah, because he's got 13 now or something.
I think so.
Yeah.
He was very humble. He's the opposite of someone like Cristiano Ronaldo, who kind of wants all the plaudits all the time. He took the praise, but was very complimentary about his teammates and the people that he's played with along the way, which I think is important. Shows he's a team player.
The thing is, he's got some world-class people behind him, like De Bruyne and David Silva and Bernardo Silva. They're all helping him
absolutely
to get there. Yeah.
I think as well, when you take his injury record into account, look at how many games he's missed, what his goal record could have been. And he's never, I think he's only been in 2 Premier League teams of the year. I saw that over the weekend, and he's never won any kind of player of the year, either from the football writers or from professionals. And you can look at that and say, well, we're used to that consistency. We almost expect that from him. But at the same time, perhaps he deserves some recognition for
it. Yeah, I feel like he's just a classic centre-forward. It's all about the goals and that.
Yeah.
That's what traditional centre-forwards were. Because nowadays, I feel like centre-forwards, strikers, they've got to drop back into midfield to get the ball. And I think Aguero's all about the goals. And
absolutely.
That's,
you're never going to get Firmino getting anywhere near that record, because it's a different role now, isn't it? It's a different way of playing.
I think it will help Jesus as well, having a role model like Aguero, who's one of the best strikers in the world.
Yeah.
To help him boost his career in the next 3 or 4 years when Aguero grows.
To pick up that mantle from Aguero then.
Yeah.
So very quickly then, just to end the show, the transfer window is now open. Speculation as ever, some reports of some sightings of agents and hidden round corners and things.
There's at Man United's training ground, the suspicious looking car and the man in the back is covering his face from the cameras. So people first said it was Bruno Fernandes himself, but the complexion of the skin's totally different.
Wow, you've really analysed this.
Yeah. And then other people are saying it might be a Sporting representative or an agent of Bruno Fernandes.
Just the kind of third party, the go-between.
Yeah.
Obviously, Liverpool did their business really early. They got Minamino in, and that, for for a steal at $7.5 million looks like it would be the only signing that, that they make. Can you see any of the other top teams strengthening?
I feel as if January is not really a strengthening time. I think it's the summer that most teams like to get the transfers in the summer to get the the season going.
Yeah. Do you think any teams need any backup anywhere?
Bournemouth.
What do they need?
They've got so many injuries. I just feel like they'll need extra players in all type of positions.
Yeah.
And they need to help Eddie Howe out. So yeah.
Mm. I feel like Arsenal need to get centre back and another defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
Because when Torreira went off yesterday on Saturday, they're definitely definitely changing the game.
Yeah.
Which,
the gaps.
Yeah. Needs to be sorted.
What about there's been a little bit of speculation about Aubameyang, and obviously, well, he's suspended now for a few games anyway. Not a move I can see happening, but there are whispers around it, and I often think there's no smoke without fire.
He's come out and said that he's not leaving anywhere, but that can be just told out, can't it, really?
I guess so, yeah. But it might be to reassure the fans as well. Right then, well, that is it for this week. Join us again next week when we'll see if there have been any developments.